we've spent our time developing the Legos and perfecting the Legos, but each time we design a home, it gets customized for the client down to every last detail.
Welcome to the System Build Lifestyle, a special Art of Construction series dedicated to the growing world of off-site construction. Host Devin Tilley, owner of Mountain View Window and Door and founder of the Art of Construction, alongside Audrey Kubesek of Modular SureSite and Connect Home Builders, take listeners on a deep dive through this fascinating subject. Offsite construction techniques are changing the industry. Keep following the System Build Lifestyle series so you don't get left behind.
All right, Tribe, we're going to have a great conversation with one of the leaders who's been working the offsite construction for a long time and really crafting. He has so much knowledge, from being the founder of Benson Wood in 1973 to taking all that exercise into Unity Homes, founded in 2012. We have Ted Benson, who has really lived the life of construction. But being a Renaissance man, and he says the 45-year odyssey of really putting all the technology but never losing touch of the handshake. When you go watch this old house, you really see that craftsman come together. And I'm excited to talk to him and ask him questions about that.
The thing I really love about him in particular is his passion and love for people to live in a home that they actually adore. And they, it's about raising the standards for construction and knowing that there are better ways to build. And he has really found that way in his businesses, and glorifying and bringing other people from all over the world work for his company has really elevated his brand, and just outstanding to hear somebody that has such a passion for living.
And Tribe, there's a little bit of background noise, but they stuck with it. They had their computer crashed and they went and found another spot. So there's a little bit of background noise, but the conversation is so good. Bear with us on that, and it's all worth it. And kudos to my team that's going out and finding the best people, and why we added the word lifestyle to System Build, because this guy is all about passion and lifestyle. So let's go have a fireside chat with Ted from Benson Wood. What's your favorite beverage?
IPA.
IPA, all right. Any particular one?
The local one.
All right, give us a local shout out. What's one of them that you like?
There's a very nice Henniker that's made about 20 miles from where I'm sitting right now in Henniker, New Hampshire.
Nice. Henniker, New Hampshire. Cool. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
A couple of really wonderful places I've traveled were in travels around Sweden, and in particularly in southern Germany, because there are beautiful geography, beautiful buildings, wonderful people, and some of the finest home building I have seen anywhere. So it was a real good combination of, you know, my professional interest in developing better home building methods and my personal interest in being in a beautiful place like the Alps of southern Germany and the beautiful rolling hills of Sweden.
Awesome. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena?
Biking.
Biking, cool. Nice. Well, give us one story of biking over out there having fun.
Well, let's go back to Germany, and one of my favorite stories and favorite experiences was doing Transalps bike rides, 3-day, 4-day mountain bike rides over the Alps, starting in southern Germany, going through parts of Italy, and ending up in Austria.
Excellent.
Amazing. So pretty magical experience.
Well, awesome. Well, we're so happy to have you here today into Studio SBL, Ted. And as we've been going to school on offsite construction and the particulars around that, I always say to my tribe, the best ideas are stolen. And you guys have been in a 45-year odyssey building up Benson Wood and actually just launched a new plant. So you guys have capacity. So you've been at this for a while. So we're honored to have you come in and talk to us about how we can raise the standards and talk through offsite construction. And I want to start off, and I challenge everybody to go watch an amazing video he put onto his website with Unity Homes, where he kind of talks about the why of what he's doing. When he talks about the defect rates, and they show how the art of construction, there's not a lot of art sometimes in total in certain parts of that. And what happens to that is the quality of the product is not so great. So I'm kind of teeing that up for his vision. So talk through, you know, about how the Proud Traditions was kind of lost in post-World War II, and talk through a better way to build, to kind of lay the groundwork of you and your companies, Benson Wood and Unity Homes.
Well, if you look at the history of construction, let's just focus on home building construction in America. There's really, you know, a wonderful, proud, long history of very, very high quality building, you know, starting in the 1600s and 1700s when America was built. And those early homes, barns, houses, town halls, churches, were incredible. I mean, they were really incredible buildings. Most of them were built using a method called the timber frame as the underlying structure. And that meant that, you know, the builders were hewing timbers from raw trees and fashioning wooden joinery to make, you know, really livable furniture as a part of, you know, as a part of a home, a barn, a church, a town hall. And those buildings, by and large, still populate most of the eastern side of the country and much of the middle part of the country. You'll still find, you know, those old buildings that were built before, say, 1875, you know, before, you know, stick framing really took over. And from that era, there were a tradition of craftsmanship and training and apprenticeship and, you know, high standards of understanding, you know, construction in all its forms. And somehow, you know, as stick framing took over into the First World War and then after the Second World War, the standards of construction were lowered. And part of it was deliberate. Part of it was this whole idea that because timber framing was such a deep, complex craft, it was too difficult to learn, too hard.
I'm sorry.
It took too long. And therefore, we had to develop a method of building that required fewer skills, and that became stick framing. Well, fewer skills shouldn't have meant no skills. And but along the way, it came to mean, you know, truly no skills. And like the method is going to take over, and we can hire people, you know, who don't have training, don't have education, don't have a standard of behavior or a standard of performance, and still somehow get out there and build good quality buildings. So having experienced that, as I did in my younger days as a carpenter out in the eastern part of Colorado Springs, I really decided this was unfortunate. You know, that we were working with people, and, you know, this is not to denigrate the trade, this is just to say this should not be a part of the trade, who knew more about swearing than they did about construction. And
they lost the love of it, right? They lost the love of it, and it just didn't, there wasn't that passion anymore. People weren't doing the job because they loved it.
Oh, yeah, I think it's, you know, a vicious cycle where,
yes,
you know, the trade wasn't appreciated.
Right.
And because the trade wasn't appreciated, the people in the trades, you know, weren't trying to raise the standards of the trade. And so, you know, with this unfortunate combination, the standards of buildings, particularly in the 60s and 70s and, you know, even into the 80s, really, you know, dropped to a pretty low level. And so having experienced that, as I launched my business now here in southern New Hampshire, we really dedicated ourselves to developing a better way to build. And the first idea that, you know, we launched our business on was reviving that old method of timber framing and bringing it into the 20th century and using the tools and techniques of the 20th century, that is, you know, drill presses and radio arm saws, you know, of the early 70s, and off-site building. So, you know, we brought the timbers into a workshop rather than trying to do that on a site. And in that workshop, you know, we could craft those timbers and that wooden joinery at a very high level, like furniture. And so timber framing, this ancient method of construction, is also, you know, if just so you know, is the oldest form of off-site building.
Really?
You know, people were doing it in the 12th century and 14th century. They were sending timber frames on in the hulls of ships as ballast, and you know, to take a home, you know, that was essentially prefabricated from one place to another. So in timber framing, off-site building has been going on for centuries. And so in the launch of our business, we were really launching an ancient tradition, and that is how to craft timbers in one place accurately, so that when we ship them to another place, we can assemble a structure efficiently and correctly without doing the cutting and shaping on the building site.
I love your quote that was published through Builder Online, and it's showcasing your new plant, where your quote that they put in there says, "It just makes sense that siding would be installed here in the shop rather than by someone dangling off a ladder on a job site, and that bathrooms would be completed on an efficient assembly line rather than in chaos found in most job sites." And that quote really resonates to the whole thing of going back to the beginning and hitting the reset button, if you will, and then adding technology and systems to that. Tell us about Tectonics and your new plant that, correct me if I'm wrong, you're under capacity, which is rare in the world of the art of construction right now.
Yeah. So going back to the little story about timber framing, we started our offsite odyssey, you know, through timber framing, because that was really the most practical and efficient way to create a high quality structure using modern tools and modern technology. And then over the years, we added wall framing, roof panels, millwork, and eventually plumbing and electrical and other aspects of the building, so that we could eventually off-site fabricate nearly the entire building, you know, using a panelized system as opposed to a modular system.
Gotcha.
Awesome.
That makes sense.
Well, what a great story of the journey. Correct me if I'm wrong, you guys were showcased on This Old House, correct?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have been kind of partners on This Old House since 1981. It was when we did our first episode with Bob Vila. We did another big series in the late 80s. That was a project called The Concord Barn. And I think there were 12 episodes that project.
Yeah, I love the Concord Barn.
The Weston House we did in 2008, and there were 13 or 14 episodes as a part of that project. And in between, they featured some of our projects in some episodes without doing a full series about them. So we know This Old House pretty well. And
yeah, you do.
I work with them, bridges all of their hosts.
Nice.
Through the years, so it's been fun and certainly a good way to share our building methods with the American public.
Definitely, that's really cool, and it's fun to have somebody kind of peel back the layers from a different perspective of seeing this old house come together. Because I think a lot of people may not quite connect the dots of, you know, where you came from and how that's put together. Now, if you really watch all those shows, you guys do a great job of explaining all that kind of stuff, because it's not the norm of this old house, right?
That's not the norm. And as a matter of fact, the Weston House was the first time they'd actually built a new house as a part of the This Old House series. And so, so we, gotcha. we, uh, we, had some kind of big milestones with this old house crew. Kevin O'Connor and Norm Abrams and Tom Silva and the whole crew. So it's been fun to work with them.
Awesome.
Good cool. for you. Congratulations.
So as you've been at this for 45 years and now with your new plant, give us what do you think it's going to be like for the next 5 years if we were to see that crystal ball kind of the 5 years from now in the offsite construction arena?
Well, first of all, for us, we are scaling up. We've just launched our new facility, and so we're going to be scaling up to full capacity in that facility. It is designed to build about 250 homes per year on a 8-hour shift. So clearly we're under capacity now because we're just occupying this new plant. So number one, we're going to scale up for that. But number two, it's going to make a lot of sense to build similar facilities in other parts of the country. And we think that in the next 5 years, we'll be launching new facilities in other areas simply to bring this technology and this better building system to other parts of the country where it's needed.
And that's fascinating to me. As you know, we just had Katerra. If you've listened to heard about them or listened to that show, it's a big thing to talk about. Explain to us what you think as far as kind of how far you can effectively ship your systems and make it cost effective before you have to, you know, what's that radius out of your new plant that you're doing 100 homes right now, it can do 250. How far out can you go in your point of view and make that cost effective for you and the other side of the fence?
Well, first of all, one of the important distinctions in our method of offsite fabrication is that we fabricate closed panels. And so closed panels means windows in, doors in, insulation in, interior and exterior finishes can also be on. But we're not shipping boxes. And so
Right, you're not doing modular construction where it's all
right.
One piece.
Yeah,
right?
And so important thing is that we can flat pack everything that we build and really optimize the truck space. And therefore we can ship further. And the way we think about it is, it's typically about as far as a truck can go in a day. So in the it's just so that honestly, it's a trucking issue. How far a trucker is allowed to drive so before they're changing drivers. So it's generally 400 miles, maybe 500 miles, you know, as a practical radius.
Yeah.
So, Ted, let me ask you, building and designing this way, do you have special architects, special plans? Are people able to bring any type of plan to you? How does that process work?
It's nearly any kind of building, you know, with any kind of architect. The issue is that we have to educate architects and, you know, outside builders about the panelized method. And so it's a little different wall section. We mount our floor systems, for instance, in a different way than is typical in platform framing. And so we just have to educate them about how the system works and what the shipping limitations are. And so it's really, you know, certain building systems, how they connect to each other, and then normal shipping requirements. For instance, our top wall length is about 10.5 feet. And so that's not too limiting. Most, you know, most buildings don't have ceilings of over 10 feet. So that's one limitation. When we do need to ship a wall section, for instance, that goes higher than 10.5 feet, we actually just turn it on its side as opposed to shipping it vertically. So it's really just an education about the building sections and the building methods. So we have a little pamphlet that we send out, and even a Revit template, you know, so that architects can use that Revit template or the pamphlet as a guideline for how they're going to organize the building system so that we can manufacture it.
Makes sense. So what the architect in mind, what are a couple of things that your pamphlet would show that you would guide them and talk through about a couple key differences from their typical sticks and bricks construction to your panelized or your systems coming on a truck?
Well, you know, just to give you a for example, we make only high performance buildings. Part of our theory, you know, as a company that's dedicated to improving the quality of building, if we're going to offsite manufacture, we should be making buildings better.
Right, I agree with you. And when you say high performance, what does that actually mean, Ted?
That means, for instance, that we have a higher level of insulation than is code standard.
Okay.
By quite a bit. And for those of you who may not be familiar with it, there's also an air tightness standard that was set by the Passive House group. This is a standard from Germany. And that standard is 0.6 at 50 pascals, which is really, really, really tight. But if you're offsite manufacturing, we can make that the norm. And so we have made 0.6 at 50 pascals the norm in for air tightness. And for most of our buildings in climate zone 6, which is where we are, just to give you a reference, out in Colorado, I think you're around 5B, but we would have about an R30 to 35 for a standard wall as opposed to 22. And so just raising the standards is important. And one of the things we do is we hang the floor systems inside the wall panels rather than having the platform floor go outside the wall panels, because it's one place where it's easy to have high heat loss that is at the rim of a floor system. And by hanging it inside, you have one joint instead of, you know, basically three joints that you would have if you had a platform frame. And so some of it is our details of how we offsite manufacture and what our wall sections are and what materials we use. But some of them are certain high performance details that allow us to achieve our air tightness and our insulation standards.
So when you have this panelized system, you're basically putting the walls, you have the flooring, and then does the client come in and still, is it still more or less a custom home where they actually pick all the finishes and selections inside of the house afterwards? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I'll try to describe that a little bit and not make it too complicated, but we have a unique methodology in our design systems. And it started back in the 90s for us. And this is an idea that came from Europe. So, you know, we did not invent the concept. But basically, we put our buildings and all of our design systems on a grid. And there's a macro grid that controls structure, and there's a micro grid that controls infill. And if you follow the logic of that, and then add computer technology, you can see and think about what the outcome is, which is that everything that we have ever done, every wall section we've built, every bathroom we've built, every stairway we've built, every window we've trimmed, because they're all informed by that grid, has become a product that we can repeat and improve and iterate. And so basically what we've done under Unity Homes and in our Bensonwood platform is we've put particular home types as a platform rather than as a product. And in that platform, we have various components that we can add to the building to basically create a larger geometry or change the shape because you needed an extra bedroom and so we have under Unity, we have four platforms, but almost an infinite number of homes. And so by doing this system, we can really customize on behalf of every client and every site and every budget and every architectural style, because we're not limited by that either. But what we're building is actually standardized. That is, those panels that floor system, that roof panel, etc., have actually been built before because they're a part of a library of components that are really the product. It's kind of like Legos. We've spent our time developing the Legos and perfecting the Legos, but each time we design a home, it gets customized for the client down to every last detail. And so nothing gets repeated, but we can standardize and manufacture efficiently.
Yeah, that's, and that goes all the way back to the beginning about the skilled labor. That is really what I think has had this whole resurgence of this type of thing, because the skilled labor is really hard, and it's, there's not a bunch of new people coming in with that skilled labor. You know, day to day, I own a window and door company, and it's a constant training, you know, with the different manufacturers and all their training, you know, all their different ways to install windows and doors. It's very hard to systemize that when there's so many moving parts to that. And that's kind of what you're talking about, the macro to the internal parts of all the different structures coming together. What would be your take on the skilled labor and why we're seeing such a resurgence? That's got to be a big reason why you stepped up and invested in this new plant and talking about looking at more places to do that as well. I'd assume with your skilled team inside your factory versus trying to redo it out on the field.
Exactly. And you know, this whole idea of developing a better way to build, you know, is pretty complex, and it's not one thing. So in our factory, we have the best equipment made in the world, you know, a wall manufacturing line that comes from Germany, and a cutting machine, CNC cutting machine that comes from Germany, another machine from France, and another one from Austria. The best equipment in the world, but also the best software in the world. So our software is Swiss, and we not only create a BIM when we create the virtual model of the house, we create what I call a BPM, a building production model, because it's already oriented for those automated machines. But the other key to it is good people with good training and good knowledge and good capability. And you can't take that away from the equation, because those machines are dumb. Yeah, they're capable of a lot, but you know, they're dumb, and they don't know what to do without, you know, skilled, high quality, educated, passionate, committed people who are right there executing that work along with the machinery. So we have a group of really talented carpenter builders who learned how to work with machines. We didn't get people who knew how to work with machines and try to make them carpenters and builders.
Right.
Awesome.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, that's really blending the best of everything, right? I think that's great. You know, machines are very capable, but you can never lose touch of the handshake and the person that knows how to make that machine be really smart, because we're still the ones that make these machines really smart, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And these people have to know building science. They have to know wood technology. They have to know a lot about structural engineering so that they understand what is happening in front of them. And, you know, they're the first ones to know if there's something that's not right or something that could be improved. The other thing that we've done, because that education and that continuity is so important, is that the people who work in the factory are the same people who go to the field, and they cycle through. And so we have crews out there assembling our buildings and crews back, you know, at the factory, you know, making the components. And there's a constant, you know, cycling of who's in the factory and who's out in the field, because they need that direct feedback. You know, how did it work? Is it efficient? Are we airtight? You know, did it go together as we intended? And so it's not, you know, people in the factory pointing to people in the field or vice versa, saying, oh, well, that should have been done better. It's the same people.
And that's a great thing to cross train and understand all, because last time I checked, the machines don't go out and source and put the wood into the machine and know what it is. And on the other side of that, last time I checked on the other side of that machine, the machine doesn't actually put it onto the truck and actually go install it. Tesla's trying to get semi trucks and all the rest of the self-driving and all this, but there's still the people component that puts it all together, right? So there's this resurgence, but it still boils down to that.
Exactly. We still, and by the way, I think I heard this quote from Elon Musk the other day, and I kind of celebrated the quote because they were trying to, you know, get their new Tesla factory to be completely automated and robotic, and they discovered that was a problem. And so the quote from Elon Musk was, humans are underrated.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, it's like, sure, you're right. And, you know, we've never underrated people knowing how important they are to, you know, the building industry. And I think you guys know that as well. You have to have the skills of the field. A little story about that. We have really learned from everywhere in the world. And that's been an important part of our odyssey, you know, watching how they build in Sweden and southern Germany and Belgium and Austria and Switzerland, borrowing technology as we've, you know, learned about the technology that they have over there. But we've also connected with their trade schools in Germany and France and especially. And since 1992, we've almost constantly had interns from overseas as a part of our company. And these interns come from a different kind of tradition where they still have that apprenticeship model. There's still kind of deep training. You start when you're a teenager. You really don't become a master until you're in your early 30s. So like a doctorate in building. And so we've, since 1992, we've had this mix of these European tradesmen and our team kind of learning from each other. And it's really been good for the culture.
Yeah,
that, I really appreciate you saying that, you know, we may have lost some of the apprenticeships here in the U.S., but, you know, it's a big, small world. So you're going out and finding where they're still there. And give us one story from an apprentice coming and connecting with your team and something that came out of that.
Yeah, so I'll tell you about the Compagnons from France. So the Compagnons are a apprenticeship system that goes back to the 12th century. So it's really, really old. And the idea of the Compagnons is to create a culture of, in the crafts and trades, and this includes a lot of trades, that can bring these craftspeople to the very, very highest level. And so in the carpentry and building trade, the concept is these people need to be able to rebuild the Notre Dame Cathedral. And they need to have those kinds of skills. And so they're really training them so that they could do anything. But the other side of their training is basically about humility and understanding that it's also important to be willing to do everything. And so the interaction of our team with the Compagnons has been, you know, interesting along the way, because these guys can do the most complex things that we have to do in the shop. Compound joinery in complex timber frames that are going to be revealed in important high quality structures. You know, we can put these Compagnons right on it. But a few years ago, we had a leaking roof because of an ice storm. And the Compagnons was the first guys up on the roof in the ice storm to fix a water leak in an ice storm. So that really, you know, brought, I think, a lot of people on our team to a new level of appreciation for what it means to be a craftsman. It's like, whatever is needed, I'm the guy to do it. And if it's sweeping the floor, I'm the guy to do it. But if we're going to, you know, make a complex timber in a complex structure, yeah, I could do that too.
What a story. It's like what your mission says, through process and product, improving people's lives. And you can definitely feel that when you talk about when we go through your 45-year odyssey from being a carpenter in Colorado Springs to, you know, I commend you for taking the step to putting this automated plant. And at the end of the whole story, we talk about the interns that are coming from the trade school. So think about that when you think about the journey, when you're the leader of the tribe, it's talking about the guys that are ready to step up on the roof and still have that craftsman mentality. It's not lost. It's just a little harder to find her out here right now. And that's where we like to have an SBL to be a voice to go out and find that and bring back the resurgence of the shortage of homes to help more people make a house their home. So in closing, as a growing listening and educational platform, what's that one thing you would tell somebody that's jazzed up about this movement and wants to grow their business to take to the bank of business when it comes to offsite construction?
Well, the big thing that I hope all people involved in this industry would take away from anything that we're trying to do is that everything that we do as an industry is not good enough. You know, homes are about people's lives. And there's a lot about that that is sacred. And we should be thinking about it that way. And as an industry, we really need to pull ourselves together, you know, connect all the dots and ensure that people who live in homes have the kind of living experience that is possible. And this industry can and should deliver that kind of quality and integrity and architectural beauty and craft precision on a regular basis. We have all the tools to do it. And they include those early craft schools skills and the apprenticeship that we all should honor. But it also includes modern technology and that machinery we have and the ability to manufacture. And just bringing it all together is so important for ourselves as an industry, but also for the people who occupy the buildings that we build. I mean, this is who we are as a civilization. You know, homes are the root and stock of civilized life. And they should be the thing that we as an industry are focused on, not compromising and finding ways to optimize it all and make it as good as it can be.
Well said.
Well said, yes. Thanks for coming in and sharing your passion and telling us your story. We're excited to follow your new plant and see where it goes from there.
Please do. And come visit if you can.
Love that. Thank you, Ted.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
What a gem to have so much knowledge coming to SBL and so much history, but yet never losing touch of the handshake. I love when he talks about his interns, because they mean so much to me. And that's us leaders, that's our job, is to go show the passion and say, construction's really freaking cool. It's just finding the right ways to put and marry that together, whether you're a technology person or want to really understand joineries and miters. He's put it all together.
And isn't it great? Like, he not only has people from the U.S., but he has people from different countries and learning those cultures and learning the division and or not having the division, actually making things work on a unified front. And again, the whole thing is about, you know, helping people move into homes they love.
We're big fans of you. Great work, Ted. Go out and check out all of their amazing stuff and see where Bensonwood grows. We're big fans and can't wait to see what happens next. Cheers, Tribe.